Okay, well, it being 10 o'clock, and I'm Gene Messer, the chair of the Board of Health, and I'll call this meeting to order. And what we'll do is first have a roll call.
All right. Leslie Seltzer.
I'm here today.
Leslie Seltzer present. Jean Musser.
Here.
Jean Musser present. And Alder Pritchett. Alder Pritchett not present. We do have quorum.
Thank you. So the next thing will be consideration of the minutes of the Budget Committee meeting of July 10th, 2025. I've had occasion to review these, Leslie. You possibly have as well. So I take a motion to approve the minutes.
So moved.
And second, Musser. Further discussion? All in favor of the motion? Aye. Opposed? Nay. Okay, the motion carries. We have a time for public comment, and I understand there is no public comment to be had. Is that right?
Correct. No
We'll go
public
on to
comment.
disclosures and recusals. Anybody can recuse if necessary based on the ethics code. Neither Leslie nor I is recusing, so we'll continue on to new business, which is 2027 Public Health Madison Dane County Budget Proposal Presentation. It's 2026 Presentation 038. Janelle, I believe you're going to do the presentation. Is that right?
Ms. Adriano, get it up and running.
And Gussie also joined us.
Oh, great.
Gussie, we're going to note you as present at the meeting. Thanks for coming.
So I'll just start while we're getting this up and running. This is presentation is not going to be a decision point presentation or a recommendation around decisions. It's around situational awareness, where we are in the process, what we are expected to be fulfilling as the directives, and then just a bit of a reminder, a reorientation to our shared legislative and executive branch processes. So, with that, next slide. A general reminder that every year we have the opportunity to submit two budgets. And I say opportunity because we don't always submit a capital budget. We always submit an operational budget. But depending on what is happening on large-scale infrastructure needs, that is what determines our capital budget. Next slide. This year, we are not presenting any changes to our capital budget, but what you'll see is a continuation of our request to invest in the development of a new space in South Madison. A reminder around capital budget, these expenses are looked at and given different directives than the operational budget. There's no opportunity to transfer funds from a capital budget into an operating budget. And this is our kind of forward-looking plan for how we're going to be organized with the space, the new facility. So that I think we will be we're heavy, heavy, heavy in design and planning. And ground is going to break early next year. Late next year.
Late this year.
Yeah, hopefully soon. Later than we anticipated, but move-in, as you can see, will be not for a bit yet. And then we.
So there's money carrying over from last year's capital
Yes,
budget, which was
correct.
the total being almost $20 million. Is that right? In
No,
aggregate.
15.
15 to 16. And so we have 15 million place held for this development. And that's a significant reduction in what the total cost is because it generates tax credits and allows for different investment that the city is supporting that become like it's like a $30 million project that we only have to pay $15 million of. And then we're continuing to place hold funds for an electronic health record. We may not need that given some new developments happening at the state level where those costs could be covered, but we are we're actively pursuing a product right now, and I know that that's a top of the line list for everyone in the department to have available. So, next slide. And then we have our operating budget. Just a reminder of the process. So, you know, we call it a budget season, but as you know, we manage our operating budget every day. The becomes a heavy, long season when we're starting to prepare for the following year's budget by which starts in March, where we start reconciling the previous year's actual costs. We start projecting costs that may be rising to put into a cost to continue request to adjust our total baseline budget. That doesn't include personnel. So examples of that include medical supplies, other program supplies, our mileage costs increasing. Are there different contracts that we have to have that it might increase so that we want to start with that baseline understanding of where those costs are rising? May, June, we receive our budget target from the city and the county. This year, we received that June 5th, 4th, early June, shortly before I sent you that June 6th email update. And the city and the county, then, you know, it is not always, we don't always receive our joint target after the city or the county kick off their budget. So those timelines are a little in flux there, but that's just the general sense. Then we start the process. We should probably include having this meeting, a Board of Health Budget Subcommittee in June. Move through the process of receiving full vote from the Board of Health in July, and then we submit the city target. Our deadline for the budget is July 17th this year. We've received a couple day extension to July 22nd because there's recognition that we're balancing different timelines with having conversations with county leadership as well. So we'll need to meet with you before the 22nd. And then, as you know, there's a long process of reconciliation from both the city and the county of what all the departments submit. The executives release their executive operating budgets in October, which then kicks off the process for finance committee or other committee hearings in October. For us, that means city finance, county personnel and finance, and a joint meeting. Sometimes one of those is combined, so there's like one and a half meetings. But and then there's the process of each unit of government can through their finance committees, through their different committees, can offer amendments to what's been submitted by departments and the executives in those budgets. And so that happens over the course of October, gets reconciled for final vote by each legislative body in November. Next slide. So just a high-level overview of what our budget looks like. In 2026, our operating budget is $34 million and change. You can see where that revenue comes from. A little more than two-thirds comes from city and county tax levy. That is not split equally by those units of government. That split is based on equalized property tax value for each unit of government. So what that looks like is of that 69%, 56% comes from the county levy, 44% comes from city levy. And then a smaller amount of revenue coming from fees, licenses, permits, and then grants and contracts. On the expense side, our staff are our greatest investment and resource. We are 84% salaries and benefits and for staff, 10%, and then very other limited amount of other funding expenses and other categories. And that's our program supplies, contracts, infrastructure, rent, all of those things. Next slide. Where you can find more detail, and I forgot to add the link, I can share that afterwards. Because we are the agency that we are, and the city is our financial manager, the detail on our budget is found in the city budget book. And so if you look at the county budget book, you will not see detail. You will see here's these big buckets, and that's about it. The city describes our budget according to these services that we have created, and in which it is not aligned specifically with just divisions. We're kind of aligning types of service and programming under these service areas. So you can find more detail there. Okay, so here's what we know to be true. And this has been true, but now with more detail for a little while now. We continue to face a pretty uncertain federal funding landscape. There's potential changes that may come fall to public health through what's in the current federal budget package. And we know, so that's something that we're just not able to speak to in detail, but something we're paying attention to. We know with more detail that the city and the county are in different financial places, with the county in a bit more dire financial place than the city. And both units of government have directed departments to submit reduction budgets for 2027. The county took a more tailored approach to how they asked departments or how they came up with the amounts for each department. Ours is the result. It comes out to a request for 7.8%. The city took the approach of requesting all departments to submit 2% budget reduction budgets. Within that, we also want to be clear, our budget is also comprised of, while we're being asked for these reductions, we've grown our fund balance, which is now at about 10.5 million of unassigned funds. And that's the result of ensuring that we're capturing all of the grants funding that we can receive and not let that be largely threatened by different federal decisions, and then to allow us to use it over the full course of the lifespan of those grants. So extending that into the future a little bit more. So next slide. And now a little more detail. So we follow directives from both the city and the county. And as I said in the last slide, we were requested to come up with a 7.8% reduction or 1.008 million from county levy to start with less than, like, to reduce our current by that much. The city's request was for 2%. That's about 210,000. Is that what we said?
Something.
Two something. I didn't put that on there because the county request more than fulfills the city reduction target, because in order to achieve that amount of levy, we have to dig deeper into our shared levy because of the equalized value funding of the health department. And so we will definitely fulfill the city directive, because we will need to look for about $1.8 million in overall less in reduction. Are there any questions about that?
Not from me.
Okay. So, next slide. While we know that we are needing to achieve about 1.8 million in savings, we also know that about $2 million of our fund balance will be applied to offset operating costs. That is not to offset those reduction requests. They are not equal. They are not one-for-one replacement for each other. That would continue to create a bigger structural deficit. There has been a practice that's existed as long as I've been with the health department that one, our fund balance is required via our intergovernmental agreement. We are required to keep a fund balance no less than 5% of our operating costs. So that kind of gets set aside from that total because that's what we use in case of emergencies or a variety of types. The practice has also been to use some of those funds to offset kind of increasing costs to deliver services within the health department. So that has been a longstanding practice. At different points in my tenure here, that has been a larger amount or a smaller amount. Everyone agrees that it's not a great practice to use a large amount because then that would continue to create a structural deficit if that funding goes away. So a small amount has always been used to offset those increased levy contributions. In the last number of years, we have also proposed and had a plan approved to continue to support project positions that were created during COVID with an influx of a variety of different COVID era funding. And I say era because it happened during that time. It wasn't all specific to COVID. And we can do that because those are started as project positions and are still project positions. So they are contingent on the availability of dollars and they are not built into our overall operating budget levy base. Next slide. So here are the ways that we have had available to us and the tools that we use to find savings in our budget. We regularly, in times like this, look for start with looking at positions that are vacant and depending on the type of financial situation that we're in, we either hold positions vacant longer or we offer up vacancies to fulfill those that reduction request. We also look to kind of where we might be able to change program or different contracts or where we can look at underspending and right-size budgets. And especially this year, we will have to look at program scope and outcomes to see if there's different ways we might need to organize ourselves. And that's going to be probably especially important since we are offering up positions for vacancies. So there are fewer people to do some of the work that we have. And then I just want to be specific, and I shared this if you haven't had a chance, because I know I sent this just right before the meeting started, but we had already made the decision to hold four positions vacant since early June. We've made the decision to hold two additional or offer two additional positions for elimination. So all of those six positions combined get us about, what's that dollar amount? I don't have it in my head. There's so many dollars swimming through, numbers swimming through my head right now.
Something you know, you just.
like about 800,000 towards the 1.8 million. So it moves us down the path of achieving that, but it doesn't get us over the finish line. It may be halfway there. So we will use the following decision criteria, making criteria on the right-hand side of this slide to inform our next set of decisions about how do we achieve that $1 million in reductions by reviewing what's mandated of a level three health department that overlaps with requirements that are found in the P Foundational Public Health Services framework, because those are things that are used to inform our 140 certification, which is the certification to become a level three health department. We'll look at a variety of different data. One of those is our community health assessment. And then we'll look at services required under existing contracts. And I guess that is probably more important because there are certain things that we do because of contracts that will not likely see any changes. Because we have to have those to fulfill our contractual obligations, and or they also generate a significant amount of revenue that supports them and doesn't require that same levy investment. So that's a general overview. None of this is an easy place to be in right now when everything is important to public health, and we're being asked to find ways to save money and do our continue to do our core work.
The mandated services, are those present in state statute?
Correct.
And how about the Foundational Public Health Services framework?
The Foundational Public Health Services framework is not explicit in statute, but it is incorporated into the 140 review. And that chapter 140 is what guides public health departments. And that is what we just went through in a 5-year. We did that early.
Chapter 140 of the
Chapter
state
140 of the
statute.
state statute drives public health. And those are our like mandated core functions. The way that the state reviews our mandates incorporates foundational public health services framework in terms of capacities that a health department has, not just services or programs, but like, do we have strong data and assessment capacities to inform our mandated services and things like that. So those are, it's kind of a hand in hand, but I wanted to make sure that they're not, they're understood kind of distinctly.
Where is it readable? The Foundational Public Health Services
I,
framework, is that readable as a
yes, I can,
document somewhere?
I have, and I will, I'll share that again with
Good.
folks. Yep.
Thank you.
Yep.
I've been through the statutes, but I don't recall seeing that
Sure. Yeah.
phrase.
I'll make sure that
Okay.
we get that
Thanks.
out to everyone. And just more, so the Foundational Public Health Services, I'll just use this as a quick opportunity. It covers both foundational areas, which are programs, many of which are reflected in mandated services, right? So communicable
I mean, I
disease,
can imagine what they would be,
immunization,
but
like availability to ensure immunization, not necessarily to deliver it, but to, communicable disease control, things like that. And then it also says all public health departments should also have these foundational capacities, which is our kind of public health 101 infrastructure. To support our ability to deliver those services in quality ways. Yes, so then we use those kind of buckets to inform decision making as well. Next slide. So thought it would be just an important reminder to also just see in one spot, like these are all the places that our budget will weave through and bodies it before it becomes finally approved. It starts internally with the package that I'll submit to you. ensuring that that's aligned with the directives of the city and county finance folks. It then goes into approval and reconciliation. This is just a different way of talking about what I did earlier in the presentation of the mayor and the county executive, then roll that up. They may change things from what we submitted to their operating budget. And that will be the October release. Then it goes back, goes into the finance committees and then the full bodies. So we've got a long, many, many eyes on and a long journey ahead of us. So next slide. This is just another, more of a timeline visualization of that. We're in the first left-hand column. We are here in front of you, providing an update of the status of how we're approaching things, where our starting point is. Still, we'll be working furiously over the next 6 weeks to reconcile internally. Budgets were due 2 weeks ago to our finance team. They are now reconciling all of the budgets from across the department in all of those different service lines to identify where all our cost centers are, where savings may be accrued as a result of those budget packages. I gave the directive earlier this year to all managers to prepare budgets anticipating with a 5% reduction scenario, exclusive of staff impact, so not including any personnel. 5% across the board of non-personnel from all of our budgets will not achieve 1.8 million. But that is, we are hopeful that we will see some additional savings as a result of reviewing those like underspending areas, likely having to make some decisions about those are potentially nice to do things, but not need to do, even though they are all tied to mandates. There's different ways to look at that. We will not know the result of that until about July 1, where that roll-up comes in. In the meantime, we will be, the executive leadership team, me and the division directors, will be having some hard conversations about how do we achieve the remaining, developing scenarios to achieve the remaining 1 million-ish in reduction request, and then be back in front of you mid-July, shortly before that budget is due to the city and the county. So that's where we're at. There is not enough, there's just a closing slide, so you can leave it here, or I'm happy to take questions and we can go back to any of the other slides that I presented.
Would there be another budget committee meeting prior to the Board of Health meeting?
Likely, and we'll probably make it very, very
early July.
So. Well, it'll probably be very close to the actual Board of Health meeting.
Same day, possibly.
Potentially same day. Yes. Yes. Board members, do you have any other questions for me?
I do not.
Suggestions?
No, it's quite clear.
Go back, Adrian, because there's an edit on that. There's a typo on that slide.
This one?
It's a 25-26. I didn't delete the 25. It says 20256 instead of 2026.
Where?
This is good.
Just leave it here.
I can update it before I upload it.
Okay. So that's where we're at. You know how to find me if you want to talk more. Individually, we'll, as I said, I am including you, the Board of Health, on messages that I send out to the department around what's happening, status updates around the budget, and we'll continue to do so.
So there's no visible thing that will improve between now and the end of the year and make it less onerous?
I don't believe so. I in my
yeah.
ideal dreams, yes, but I'm not seeing that.
How far below the city goal are is the 1.8 million?
So if
you said
combined it, the combined city county cut, when we look at all levy money, yeah, to get to the 1.8 is like 4.25% overall of our levy.
Right. And so the if we were to just be held, maybe another way of also answering that is if we were to be just held to a city target, that would only be
$213,000.
And so looking at it the way that we are, we will exceed that city target by about 500 and some thousand dollars in order to fulfill or achieve the county request. Does that make sense?
Yes. There's no prospect for the city letting you off the hook for the total equalized value reduction. Well,
I don't know. Last year, we also exceeded the city request, and they reinvested that into the health department in specific programs. So what happened as a result of making those, it was about a $250,000 to $300,000 of city levy that had to be utilized to achieve the county target. And then the county or the city went back and said, we are amending through the amendment process or the budget process. We want to reinvest that into the violence prevention team by creating, making positions that were only 0.5, 1.0.
So there's some prospect for
there could be
not being quite as bad as the 1.8 in the end.
Correct. It's possible. It's also, it doesn't, I don't assume that that would be a one-for-one replacement. It may be based on different priorities of where the city would like to invest. Not necessarily where those, not necessarily where the reductions may have come from.
And nothing you can plan on.
No,
I await further developments, so to speak.
Right, which may be in that October time frame. Yeah.
So occasionally there are budget amendments that the county board or the city council do, but those are not predictable either at this point, I presume, and would probably put both entities over their budgets if there were any. That's a sort of,
I mean,
a
I think there's two different parts of that statement. Is it's possible it could. Oftentimes what I have observed and what's practice is amendments are made to stay within the budget by redirecting funds from one place to another. That could happen as well. That's I think we may understand better what that would look like starting in September, late September. There is one, I didn't include it. I didn't speak to it. I think it's included. We also, before October and the executive budgets are released, the county board has departments present the budgets that they submitted before they get released by the executive. So there is a presentation that I will be part of in mid-September where I present our budget, what's in our budget to anticipate to the county board. It will be everything that you have already seen and approved, but it's in that legislative process. And then that's before the county executive releases her operating budget.
So it gives the county board supervisors an opportunity to comment to the executive or you if they have suggestions.
Potentially, and it is when we may start hearing more about what ideas of amendments might be as they learn what's in department budgets.
Okay, thank you. Leslie, Gussie, any questions for Janelle or comments?
None for me.
Okay. Well, I think that's the end of the presentation. Yeah, thanks. If there's no further questions or comments, I think that we can take a motion for adjournment.
So moved.
Thanks, Leslie. I'll second the motion. Any discussion on the motion to adjourn? All in favor, please say aye. That would be you, Leslie, and you, Gussie.
Aye.
Do you have to motion to accept the presentation?
Probably. Thanks. Leslie, we have erred. I have erred. We need a motion to note that we have received the presentation.
So moved.
Second, Musser. Discussion on the motion, all in favor? Aye. Opposed? No. Okay. And then on the motion to adjourn, all in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Thanks. Okay, we are adjourned.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
I always thought that except it seems a strange thing. So.